Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to United R. I'm your host, Colin.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Ashwin.
We are recording, it's 10:30, so just about 45 minutes or so after the final whistle at Old Trafford on what feels, probably the best day ever with regards to where we've been recently. Jamie, what a win.
Brilliant win, mate. I'll be honest, before the game I was fearing the worst just off of, not just last season, but what Liverpool have done to us over the last 18 months, 2 years, and the malaise around the club, the team, and everything else that goes with it. I was just kind of fearing the worst. And to be treated not only to the result, which is obviously brilliant, the performance was fantastic. And yeah, as you said, it's probably the best I've felt football-wise for 12 months or so. It's just a brilliant feeling at the moment.
It definitely shows you kind of where we've been, because I was the exact same. I remember I said it at the time, but I haven't celebrated a goal like that first goal in so long. I used to always jump up and shout and fist pump and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's now that I have a baby that's normally asleep or something or gets upset when I do that, but I just haven't really done that. I don't know if it was also like a COVID thing, if you weren't necessarily always watching games, you know, sociably like you used to and stuff. I don't know, but I over the last few years have stopped doing that. Also because I think it's sometimes a bit of a chore watching United, even when we do score. But I was leaping when that goal went in, the first one, just because it was such a good goal as well. I don't want to jump on too soon because there's other questions to ask. But Ashwin, that's basically just what I mean. That excitement and that kind of vibe from that game, I just feel on another level to anything I've seen with United in what feels like so long.
Yeah, I think just honestly, just immediately from the start, you could tell that we've had too many of these matches where it's not even that you lose, but it's that you don't even feel like there's any intensity in the team. It's very easy. Last year I remember we played City, we lost 2-0, but it felt like it was a walk in the park. It was not competitive at all. And I thought you could see that from the beginning. That was different, and I feel like the crowd could sense it. You could hear there was a buzz, and it was a positive buzz. I think a lot of times playing at home, especially over the last 6 to 8 months, has not been a comforting thing at all for the team. And I felt like today they really were able to build off of, there was a frenzy building throughout the match. It felt like, it was so nice to watch them play a match where it felt like it was 11 players all with the same exact understanding of what they were trying to achieve throughout the match. And when there were mistakes, there were teammates covering for them, and there was not a lot of pointing of fingers and blaming and not generally trying to avoid responsibility rather than take it on. And I think some of that probably has to do with Varane coming back in the team. I thought he was tremendous. But it was just all around such a great performance. And I don't think we can avoid the fact that in a lot of ways, you know, Ronaldo's such a big personality. I think it kind of mutes what other players are allowed to do in a lot of ways. And I just thought they really had a chance to express themselves without him on there. And it was great to watch.
Yeah. And that's something worth coming on to relatively immediately, because it's kind of one of the big, I mean, we will talk about the game and, you know, relive the moments, get excited about it all over again, that kind of stuff. But one of the big things here actually was, normally the, you know, Nick's classic line of the team selection chat, you know, at the start of the pod, is just something to get through for a lot of our listeners, I imagine. But in this instance, actually, it's a really interesting talking point, because Jimmy, Erik ten Hag made the big call. It is a big call. It's a big call. I think it's always a big call to drop your captain and to drop Cristiano Ronaldo, essentially. But it's even, I think, a bigger call when you're going to play against Liverpool, when you have lost your first two games this season. But then the flip side of that is that we've been so bad that, it, you know, you basically have, I think, on the other side of the coin, carte blanche to kind of do what you want. And no one's really going to, I think, criticize you too heavily for that, because, well, it wasn't working to begin with anyway. But the changes were Fred, Maguire, Shaw and Ronaldo dropped. And I mean, it couldn't have worked better, Jimmy, really.
No, I agree with that. I think you're right when you say there's two sides to that, because two of the guys that get dropped, one's your captain, and it doesn't matter how poorly he's playing, what his form's like, whatever it is. As soon as you drop your captain, that's a massive talking point. And two, you're dropping Ronaldo. And again, doesn't really matter what people's individual opinions are on Ronaldo, you're still dropping Ronaldo. So that was always going to be a talking point. But it wasn't just last week. The performance the week before was so bad in terms of the way the players were playing together. There was just no real chemistry, no cohesion. We were very lethargic. But as much as that spread through the team, and Ten Hag said it in his interview before the game, that at halftime last week he could have made 11 changes, really, because that's how badly everyone was playing. You can still point to two or three players that are absolutely causing the issues, and he's taken a hammering for the last, I don't know, 18 months or whatever it is, but Maguire absolutely is one of them. He just is. Yeah. It's from the way he doesn't organise the defence in a great manner. He's very slow and ponderous with the ball, but maybe you can point to the midfield being an issue for that. But there's so much wrong with his game. His confidence is low. But you could literally throw any cliche at Maguire just now and it'll be true. So having everything that's happened in the last two games did give Ten Hag the perfect game to even just say, even though it was against Liverpool, to just say, right, Varane's fit, get him straight in. And even though people were wanting to slate Martinez, and he got pulled off at halftime last week, Martinez hasn't played that badly, and everyone seems to be, like other pundits and fans seem to be focusing on this height thing. And again, Ten Hag addressed that before the game and said, if you actually look at the data, he's dominant in the air. He's winning everything in the air. The only thing that's happened in the air was the goal against Brentford, where he slips on the line and Ben Mee just heads it in. That's literally it. So Martinez is never going to get dropped. Maguire absolutely is going to get dropped, and I'm just glad he made that call. But I was also glad he made the Luke Shaw call, because Shaw just has not been at it at all for I don't even know how long now. And the young guy, Malacia, looks a player, even in that 45 minutes last week. And you can't take much from a second half performance where you've been absolutely battered in the first half, 4-0. But even his performance in the second half offered a bit of promise, where he's wanting to get on the ball, he's wanting to get forward, he's looking to be combative in tackles, he's actually looking like it means something to be on the pitch. And I was really pleased to see him get a start. And I love Ronaldo. Anybody that listens to the pod or follows me on the forum, on my posts, knows I love him, but it's untenable now. Don't play him. There's just no point. And even deciding to go with the formation up front, where Elanga was off the left, Sancho off the right, and Rashford through the middle, I kind of agreed even with playing Rashford there instead, just because I thought if Rashford can get back to what we know he can do, Harry and defenders getting right up in their faces and getting after them, that's so much better as an option up front than Ronaldo. And even the change at half time, bringing Martial on to play that position, both were better options than Ronaldo. So as much as there were big calls, in my opinion, they were the right calls, and I was really pleased with the team at the start.
Definitely. And I think the thing with this is that it's worked, obviously, but it's a totally unique game, you know, in that it's Liverpool. So I think, you know, we've often seen United choose a kind of a different tactical setup. That's not really new ground. You know, it actually, in many ways, was very like an Ole performance that we previously would have been excited about, and that he was generally quite able to get out of this team. Not that it's really the same team. But that's just the thing where I'm thinking then about next week and whether Ronaldo, Maguire. I mean, Ashman, do you think this is a statement that Maguire's captaincy is going to be going, or do you think some of these players come back in next week?
Is you can have a captain that doesn't start. Like, I mean, that's happened at a lot of clubs. I think the captaincy matters to a certain extent, but I think it should. I think the idea that if somebody's the captain, they should start every match. That's where it's tricky, because I don't think that should ever be the standard. A captain, you can be a leader without playing, right? I'm not saying Maguire is. I have no idea. I don't know what the internal dynamics are in the dressing room. He doesn't strike me as a leader, but who the hell knows? But, like, I don't think it matters that he is the captain. You can't bring him into the side after a match like that. I think that would set a really bad example. You know, look, the fact of the matter is I think Lissandro makes a ton of sense on the left, right? Because he is left-footed. You cannot take Varane out after a match like that. So where is he going to play? You know, it's just a fundamental reality. Like, it just doesn't make sense to bring him in right now.
Play your captain, fly at the back.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think the other thing, too, with Lissandro is, you know, like, I think... I will say this. I think playing a team like Liverpool suits him very well, because they're going to keep the ball on the deck, right? They're not going to be playing a lot of aerials. You're not going to have to deal with winning the first ball, winning the second ball. I think that helps us, generally speaking, because our primary issue, I don't think it's actually him winning headers. I think it's about winning the second ball, and that's a team-wide issue. So I think Casemiro helps a ton with that. And so, like, I just kind of... The way I'm looking at it, like, if Maguire comes back in, he's going to have to come back in because, one, there's an injury, or two, somebody's just completely out of form. Because right now, like, if you want to create competition for places, right, if you want to create, like, you know, one thing that stands out with City, every time I watch City, is if you're off it, you will come off. He will replace you. Like, I'm not saying, like, buy or sell in the window, but I'm just saying within the course of a match or the course of a season, if you lose form, he is ruthless. He will bring in somebody else until you get another chance, right? And that's what you need at these top clubs. You cannot have, like, if you want to be at that level of, like, a Man City or a Liverpool, right, you have to operate at that level where it's not just, oh, well, he was a world record transfer and we're paying him so much and he's the captain, so he has to start. That's bullshit. You know, like, that's none of those are reasons to actually start. And if you want to create that atmosphere again, that's what it takes. It takes, like, that should be the marker that's laid down for Maguire. Hey, you're still in our plans. You're still in part of this team, but you have to wait your time, right? Like, is anybody going to care that Lindelof is out of the team now? You know what I mean? Like, there should be no separate standard for Maguire and Lindelof just because one costs £80 million and he's the club captain. That's where you get into big problems.
It totally is, and I think as soon as they're at the club, all that has to be removed, but it hasn't been. You know, that's kind of been the thing, is that narrative and that way of making decisions based on, you know, who is a personality, what maybe the board thinks the important players are, who has the captain's armband, who cost how much money, seems to have been, these are non-footballing reasons that have been seeming to seep into football tactics and football decisions. And I'm just pleased. You know, it's only one game, so I think we can't read too much into it. I think Maguire will play a decent amount of minutes, but, you know, it's tough for him because, you know, again, it's one game, but they looked like a good pair today. You know, they looked settled. I thought it made Dalot look better. I thought, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that Malasia can just come in and play an extremely good game. He has two good centre backs. And Maguire does often seem to, and this is just a rag on Maguire for 20 minutes opening to this thing, but, you know, he is kind of like a nervous conductor, I think, sometimes, that he's actually trying so hard to be the man, but often it just comes out in terms of nerves and petulance and anxiety that then spreads across the back four. Possibly not totally down to him. And I do think, Jimmy, you're right, that some of the criticisms and focus on him has been a wee bit over the top in general over the last sort of year, 18 months. I think he's a better player than he's getting slated for, but also I think he's been allowed to keep playing and playing and playing in this kind of doom spiral that he hasn't been able to pull himself or us out of, which is a big task. So in many ways, you know, a breakout of the team, whilst it's tough because he is the club captain, it's probably the best thing for him. It's just whether that captaincy should be moved or not. And Ash, I'm going to take your point on that in terms of there's been, I mean, we had Ashley Young as a captain. We've had plenty of captains who didn't really always play and were kind of older players. But
when Inter won the treble, wasn't Materazzi the captain and he never played?
Zanetti, I think it was. Right?
But it still comes down to, it still comes down to kind of buy-in, though. I do still think it's important. Yeah. And I think it's one thing if you've had an incredible career and are just not starting because of age or whatever, but you've earned your coin and you have the respect of the dressing room. But I think to have kind of come in, presided over a basically awful period, been basically replaced due to quality reasons, essentially, that there's a better pairing there, and then to retain the captainship. And that, I mean, you'd have to be a great bloke around the dressing room for anyone to have any kind of real, you know, buy-in to anything he's going to say. But again, the role of the captain probably wildly overrated in modern football by us. To get back to the actual game, Jimmy, I thought the first 20 minutes we were superb.
Yeah.
Absolutely superb. I just thought everyone was singing off the hymn sheet. I thought we looked youthful and energetic again. I thought players that have been looking horrific lately showed belief and were able to get at Liverpool. Do you put that down to just something having to break and the players eventually being so embarrassed of recent performances that they just got after it? Or is it because of the personnel? I mean, why were we able to play such good football then?
I think there was a few things. I think the changes definitely had an effect. I mean, for all the reasons that we already spoke about, bringing in some personnel who hadn't started the season in their starting positions that were coming on as substitutes or were only getting a couple of minutes here and there. They were coming in and wanting to obviously really put a marker down and show why they should be in the team. I think the reaction, not just from the press, but from fans, both United fans and non-United fans, over the last couple of performances, I genuinely think that must have put a bit of fire in them as well, to try and go out and prove, you know, they've got a bit more about them. And I just think the fact it's Liverpool as well, I mean, that, it didn't happen last season, of course it didn't. Liverpool were 2-0 up after like 10 minutes, but tonight they just actually did seem to genuinely be the atmosphere around the game that you would expect from a derby against Liverpool. And I do wonder if we had all the protests and things like that before kickoff, and so that added to the atmosphere as well. But it genuinely just seemed like when the players were coming out at the start, the atmosphere was already there. It was already electric, really cracking, and you could hear the pundits kind of kept saying it through the game. You know, the atmosphere rarely dropped at all through the game, and I think that led to the fast start, and we got off to such a fast start. I genuinely thought for the first 20 minutes, Liverpool looked absolutely shell-shocked, as if they genuinely just did not, like, obviously we are saying it ourselves, we didn't expect it. Liverpool absolutely didn't expect it, because the defence was all over the place the first 25 minutes. So they literally just could not live with the three front guys getting really fast, pressing really high up the pitch. The midfield three, I mean, McTominay, the chance that we have actually before even the first goal, it's a great pass by McTominay in behind, and then Bruno does really well to react quickly, and Alanga should score, but that was because we were... Yeah. We're,
although he doesn't do badly, you know, he hits the post, I think he does pretty well.
Yeah, he's unlucky.
He does everything right.
He should score, know. I think, in my opinion, but he's unlucky because it comes at him fast, he's not got much time to react, it's literally just a first-time hit, he beats the goalie, and he's just unlucky it hits the foot of the post, but all of that came just from stepping up the pitch an extra 10 yards. Instead of standing off them and letting them play, we just got after them, literally right across the front. If they managed to beat the press, the midfield three pushed up really high and were getting right into the gaps as well. And then, as I kind of said, the back four was a lot more settled tonight. And even just, there was one tackle on the near side when Dalot snaps into Diaz. And it's not a bad tackle, it's just a full-blooded challenge you would expect in a derby. And even things like that were just getting the fans back on side for the game. It just made everybody just a bit more up for it. And you could just see the confidence just started to come back. And then the fact that we get the first goal, that just, I think that helped massively. I mean, if we'd have started that fast and then something else happened, obviously you don't know what happens at that point. Yeah. But
well, I think we are and will be for a very long time a team that is still fragile. Like I think if we go to any big team and concede first, you know, even if there was just, say we were dominant there for 15 minutes or whatever, it played the game exactly the way it had gone, but Liverpool just squeaked a chance and scored, you could just see it collapse.
I agree
I don't think a team can kind of experience so much negativity as ours has over the last year and a half or whatever and get over that so quickly, you know, that won't be an issue. And for that reason, hopefully we always start pretty fast. But I mean, just coming on to the goal, I honestly loved that goal so much. There was just so much good about it. You know, the initial ball in behind, I don't know who played it, but for Rashford, he really had to get
The Bruno pass.
He then cuts back inside, lays it back. Bruno then zings across like this lovely pick out for Eriksen, who just has the kind of presence of mind and comfortableness to just sort of dance over a challenge without losing it and you know, taking a snapshot or giving it away. And then I think he lays it off, and then there's a great pass on the first time from Martinez, who stepped right up to whip it straight out to the left wing, and then the 1-2 comes off between Alanga and Alanga and Eriksen, I think it is at that point. And then the pullback, as you say, picks out Sancho, and then, I mean, Sancho, my goodness, the feet and the composure to pick out just the bottom corner. And the absolute best part of that goal is, do you see the replay? Bruno's pointing,
he's pointing at the bottom corner, telling him where to shoot,
while Sancho's just like checking his watch and fixing his hair and, you know, seeing what's going on around him. And, you know, Bruno's like, stick it in the corner. And he just, you know, sticks it in the corner. What a good goal. Like, literally everything about it, just composed, clinical, crisp. That's the kind of football I want to see.
Do you think Sancho moved more on that play or Van Dijk?
Oh my God, that's terrible defending. I couldn't believe
Van Dijk probably, yeah. Just about, yeah. And Milner was not happy about that and then continued to not be happy. I mean, it was quite a fracturous Liverpool saw.
They actually seemed to be arguing quite a few times in the second half. Milner and...
Something's off. Something is off there. They don't seem...
Something feels a wee bit off, yeah.
Yeah, forgetting even like them arguing, even just their... Like the way they combined, it wasn't sharp at all. I felt like Salah, you know, he's up against Malacia the entire match, right? If you're Liverpool, that should be like the entire match, right? You're just feeding him. You're just feeding him. And I think even at halftime, maybe it was you, Jamie, somebody messaged in our group about how they're just going to go at Dalot in the second half because he's on a yellow. And it, like, they just never got those guys isolated against our fullbacks. Now, like, some of that is obviously deserved credit. Like, we were very together, we kept our shape well and all these things, but for a side like Liverpool, you would expect them to find those mismatches, right? Just find those matchups and let their players, you know, attack. And it just, the fact that they didn't was really surprising to me. That in midfield, I mean, look, James Milner is 75 years old now. Like, he needs to just give it up.
Yeah, and he still absolutely
Henderson,
gets a boat.
Henderson coming off was just fantastic. I enjoyed that so much. Actually, Elliot actually looked pretty good, but, you know, whatever. But Henderson was...
Yeah, he's tidy.
Terrible.
He doesn't really affect things too much, but he's very tidy. I think, to be fair, when Fabinho came on, obviously they're chasing the game and we're sitting back at that point, but I thought he immediately made a difference for them. He just wasn't fit enough to start, and I wonder if that would have made a difference, because he definitely just anchors them and takes a lot of stress out of their play. And then obviously Thiago's the other big miss, I think, at the moment, because as you say, I don't necessarily think it's an issue with Salah or Diaz. I think the ball's not really getting to them in the appropriate way. It all seemed a bit slow and a bit ponderous and kind of buildy-uppy. I also think a big part of that, Ashwin, which is kind of the next point I just wanted to touch on, is it just as simple as the fact that running is actually quite important in football? I feel like we've just really learned this over the last week, and that is basically the revelation that has just dawned on some of our players, is that if you run quite a lot and sprint, it's... on the one hand, much harder for your opponent and often very easier for you. And I just feel like we've seen this at the start of this Premier League. It's been like there's a spotlight on it. You know, we saw Palace just do loads of running against
the Chelsea match.
Success. We saw Chelsea, yesterday, or, you know, over the weekend. Absolutely. I thought Arsenal have ran more than anyone basically in the Premier League this year, and they look great for it. And it just, you know, it just seems like the simplest thing in the world. And yet it just again is reinforced how important it is if your players can do that. And I thought we did that extremely well. I thought I've never seen Sancho put in a shift like that. I thought Rashford was extremely good in the press, but it was all coordinated. Bruno was a madman. And we'll come on to him, you know, individually later. But I just thought as a team we pressed so well, and that alleviated so much of the kind of quick turnarounds and the exposure that they're able to get at our back four, to the point where we were already back in shape and we were harrying them so hard. Now, I didn't think we were quite able to maintain it. I mean, it was pretty a wee bit dicey going into half time. And then, you know, we rode it out in the second half as well. But broadly, you know, it was much better than I've seen in a long time. And I thought, you know, that was a great way even to be tested like that at the end of the first half, and just, you know, need to defend responsibly for 5 minutes, you know, is something that is nice to see us do successfully, because so often we're so brittle and we crack, you know, under that kind of pressure. So an awesome way to end the first half as well. And just there, we'll take a quick ad break and come back and chat about some of those individual performances.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, Jamie, one of the individual performances that I was so pleased with, because he just seems like a lovely bloke, was Malacia. I thought that was really, really superb. And as you touched on before, it's been a good sort of, well, 130 minutes or so for him, but I mean, he looks like a real player.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. I mean, what was it, £15 million or whatever it was for him? And I think Shaw's got a very, very difficult job getting him out of the team, because I know Salah scores, but you know, it's off a deflection. Malacia just kept Salah quiet for the entire game, just marked him out of the game, and it wasn't like. It was just the defensive part that was excellent. He offers so much going forward. He's calm with the ball. He's not rushed. There was three or four times, you know, in the second half when Liverpool were starting to just build a bit of momentum, and he picks up the loose ball, and instead of just hitting an aimless kind of pass anywhere, it's a square pass to Martinez, and immediately he's on the move to receive it back, play it up the line. Whether it's a good pass inside, then makes the run up the outside, he's always available. He seems pretty good in the air as well, actually. Like, he can fight quite well in the air, which is always a good strength for a fullback as well. I mean, it sounds so simple, right? Because you hear, like, Keane talking about it all the time, about, you know, heart, desire, character, whatever you want to call it. But it's so true when you see a player, especially a young player, have so much endeavour and just is willing to die for the shot, and to use another cliche, but there was like so many occasions I just caught myself, like, you know, fist pumping as if, well done, wee man. And it was like chances where the ball was like running to the corner, and rather than let it go out for the corner, he's sprinting after it and just smashing it into touch for a throw-in. See, even things like that where you can show you're willing to do everything that's necessary to do your own job, to help your teammates out. And getting up and like high-fiving Martinez every time they were, either of them done a block.
There was a lot of
He's a thoroughly, thoroughly likeable guy. And I just want him to just keep playing left back.
I think it's the kind of signing we've missed out on quite a lot lately, where it's that, you know, like that slightly risky bracket. Or maybe we've made them and they just haven't quite worked out, you know, which is also a good argument for that. But I think that gives a lot of energy to a squad. I don't think you always want one kind of player in a squad or like one, all players at one stage of their career or whatever, you know, a squad full of superstars or whatever. I think it makes a lot of, if there's a lot of worth in having players coming up and giving that energy to the other players and other people feeding off that.
That's how like any company works, right? Like you don't want everybody to be in the same stage of their careers. Actually, when that happens is when things tend to stagnate and like, you don't really progress any further. And I think, you know, what Malacia gives you is like, look, there's going to be matches. There are even instances today, right, where they got in behind him or he wasn't sure when to, like, cut off the, you know, force the man out wide. There are things that, like, he messed up. But the difference is, like, he has that energy because he's, you know, he's, what, 20, 21, whatever he is. He has that energy and just kind of, like, he's too young and stupid to know what, like how big this moment is, you know, like you're playing Liverpool, the club is in like this horrible kind of situation, but he doesn't know any better, right? He doesn't know any better than to like just...
Well, it doesn't know better and also hasn't experienced better, do you know what I mean? So, and you know, not to fire a dig at Casemiro, but I'm just pleased to see a player who, this is a big step for them, you know, playing Old Trafford, what I've been saying about this window is that I want someone, and I'm not saying that Casemiro doesn't, and actually, I mean, we'll talk about him later, I don't want to spoil that, but he seems like a super lovely bloke, but you just want that person who thinks, this is my shot and I'm going to grab it, and has the right kind of personality to actually do that. But I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more of him on the ball. I mean, the two things that are really standing, well, three things that are standing out to me about him at the moment is energy, first of all. I think he shames Luke Shaw. He just looks so much fitter, so much nippier, and so much more willing of a runner, which is a big deal. Obviously, running is important, guys. And then, you know, his defensive work just seems really, really sharp and really good. He really bites into the tackle, which I like. So many times watching United, you just see us back off. Like, the whole team's instruction is never to make a tackle unless you're in their half or something. It's crazy to me. Whereas he really likes to snap in, and if the ball's there to be won, he'll go and win it. And then the other thing is just, I think he seems like he has a really good attitude, personality kind of thing. I just want to see more of him on the ball, maybe in an attacking sense, stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully if he does start next week in games where we'll have more of the ball, I'd be really pleased to see it.
He played a little bit within himself, which is totally understandable, right? I think he clearly did not want to leave Mo Salah at all. Like he just wanted to stay within touching distance of him. But like, I think in preseason we saw a little bit of it, obviously. But, you know, everything I've read about him and all the stuff I've seen, he's definitely a fullback who wants to get forward. We know Ten Hag wants his fullbacks to get forward. And, you know, whether that be underlapping and kind of playing in a midfield overload or overlapping and providing width, I think there's obviously multiple things he can do. But if nothing else, this again forces Shaw into a situation where, like, do I think Malacia is going to start the entire rest of the season? No. But when Shaw gets his chance, and Shaw will get another chance, he knows that he has to take it. He can't just come in and amble around and, you know, jiggle around the pitch. You know, he's got to actually be in shape, and he's got to do sprints, and he's got to, like, it's...
Totally, yeah. But if it gets the best out of Shaw for a year, it's still a good thing, you know?
It was just, it was unprofessional, and it was insulting, the first two matches, his performance. Like, he just looked absolutely so far off the required level. But yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a good thing that when he does come back in the side, and again, he's going to get another opportunity at some point, he knows that if he doesn't take his opportunity, there's this 21-year-old kid who doesn't, like, I think he had a comment or quote a few weeks ago where they asked him something about, like, you know, how do you feel about, like, you know, not starting or, you know, coming off the bench, being an understudy, something like that. And he said something like, I'm not here to just be on the bench, you know, like, I want to play, which is obviously everybody wants to play, but I think you can see that in his application on the pitch, and you see it, and he also just provides, like, you talked about running, but, like, and it is funny, like, yes, running is important, but you watch the Premier League now, especially, every team is pressing, every team is running like crazy, so when you don't have it, when you have a team that, like, quite frankly, at times last year, our team was just old and not athletic. And now you take a player and you put a player like Malacia in who is athletic, who has the energy to run all day and all these things, like, that's a huge step up from what you were getting from that position. And, like, I mean, think about what we were looking at last year, right? We had Tellez playing there, and he can't even move. So, yeah, I think it's just, it's not even necessarily how good he is yet. It's just there are physical attributes he brings to the table that we just do not have at that position other than him.
So, Jimmy, this might be a tough one for you, given your profession of love for Cristiano Ronaldo, but do you think we are simply a better team with the front three of Rashford, Sancho, Martial, this front three that we thought we were going to get last year that we never got with the young up-and-coming, I say up-and-coming, I mean, Martial's getting on a bit, but, you know, with the mobile young forwards who are being given their chance, you know, to have their Manchester United kind of thing. And I know Alanga started today. He obviously comes in on that bracket. I think that's just because obviously Tony, he was having his minutes managed. I thought the halftime sub was excellent. I thought that was an excellent choice before the second half even happened. I was happy to even stand over it if it went wrong kind of thing. But is there just an argument that we would just be a better team in terms of the press, in terms of the fluidity, in terms of the ego without Ronaldo? And that is acknowledging that he scored whatever, 20 goals last year and is clearly a great player.
Yeah, I've actually kind of got two trains of thought on it, because the first one is absolutely, like, even if you just take this game in isolation, playing...
Martial looked unreal. He looked unreal when he came
because out. That's kind of what I was going to say. So even if you pick the three at the start of the game, so Alanga on the left, Rashford through the middle, Sancho on the right. Literally, as we've already kind of covered, from the first minute, they're pressing like crazy, really high up the pitch. It's then allowing the midfield three behind them to push 5 yards further up and kind of almost go man for man right across the pitch. So even if Liverpool managed to get the first pass out, the next lot of players are immediately then being pressed again. And that was giving them such a problem. And I agree with you. I thought the sub at half-time, I thought was brilliant, because as much as Alanga does well to set up the first goal, I just thought the last kind of 15 minutes or so of the first half passed by kind of without anything really coming from him. And when I saw Martial coming on, I thought that's a really good sub, that. Get Alanga off, get Rashford onto the left, continue pressing like crazy, get Martial through the middle, and then whatever it is, within 10 minutes you get the second goal. And
well, I mean, the second goal is exactly what you're looking for, isn't it? You know, like, that's kind of the dream.
Yeah, but with regards to Ronaldo, I mean, in a nutshell, did we score either of those goals tonight when Ronaldo's playing through the middle? No. That's the long and short of it. You don't. Because you've not got players pulling wide left and right for either of the goals, pinning the fullbacks back, giving the centre-halves a problem, allowing the guy in the middle to actually make a decision with which way he's going to pass the ball. I also think because Ronaldo's playing and because it is Ronaldo, there's so many times last season and even in the first two games this season when he has played, I feel like players feel like they have to pass it to him because he's Ronaldo. So even if he's just standing up front, not really offering anything, he's got a man on him. I just feel like too many times, especially the young guys like Sancho, and then even guys like Rashford who are a little bit older, I still feel like they almost feel like they have to pass it to him just because of who he is. And I think from a playing point of view, even just going off of one game, I don't see how you can start him at the moment, because either the formation that started the game or the formation from halftime onwards is a much better option for the football that Ten Hag's wanting to play with a lot higher energy. The second train of thought is, for everything that's happened this summer, from his own attitude and his behaviour and everything else going with it, I don't see why it should really continue any longer. I mean, yeah, I love the guy. I think he's probably one of my favourite players ever, if not my favourite player ever. But it's not working, and just looking at us, I just don't think we get any better with him coming back in. I really don't. I think we need to go with the route that's been started tonight, and added to everything else that's happened in the summer, I just think it's better if we just kind of cut ties and just move on from it now, to be honest.
I mean, I completely agree. I would love it if we somehow managed to offload him. I hope his agent is working super hard at that and he does anything he feels he needs to do, because I don't think he was happy, you know, obviously to be benched today. I don't know if anyone watched on Sky, but he came over at the start of the match when he was meant to be doing his warm-up to have a moment, which I thought was pretty not cool again. You know, you're meant to be, you know, warming up. I get you're a sub and it's not really that important. Some people might just say, oh, it was a nice moment, but like he can shake Gary Neves' hand literally any day of the week. You must see him literally every week, and I've never seen him do that before.
Blanking Jamie Carragher was
Yeah, that's fine. That is good, but like literally Gary Neves at every single Old Trafford game, so that's bound, and he's never once came across before except in the game when he's not starting and stuff like that. You know, I just think it was a bit, maybe it was a lot of like look at me,
I'm still here kind of stuff, like attention seeking.
And that's the way it always is. The other thing I think, to your point, Jimmy, is that you know, about other players playing the wrong way when he's on the pitch. I mean, he came on and then in the 90th minute he sort of spanked a chance for himself. We then recycled the ball, Bruno got it. Ronaldo was like near the back post and stuck his hand up. There was no pass on. Never mind the fact that Bruno just had it in the left-hand corner. It's like the 92nd minute, you're winning 2-1. What should you do in that situation? Try and set up your mate Ronaldo at the back post so that he can, you know, get a goal and pad his stats, like all he's interested in doing. And he played the pass. I was like, are you high? That is unbelievable. You have a man over here on the left-hand side. Just keep it for literally the rest of this game. We're not needing to score in the 93rd minute. Certainly not just because Ronaldo needs a goal to remain relevant. Like, I just thought that is the perfect example of why it's always just Ronaldo, Ronaldo, Ronaldo. And I would love to see him gone now at this point. And I have huge, you know, respect for his footballing career, but I don't want him at the club anymore.
Yeah, so I think Laurie Whitwell, The Athletic, he said that Ten Hag let Bruno have it after that pass. So I'm glad because that is so mad. I saw the run Ronaldo was making, and I was like, don't stick his hand up. Don't do it. I knew he was going to do it. As soon as I was like, I knew he was going to try this pass. Well, and it's like, that's a pass you try if it's tied or you're trying to win, like you're chasing a goal. I get it. But like, there is just, it's this complete wrong decision. But Bruno, like, he had the most insane match today, where it was like,
well, I was just going to come on him. That was the next thing. Like, he was obviously our captain.
Every 2 or 3 minutes, my opinion of like how he was playing changed. I was like, oh my god, he's working crazy. So hard. And then he had that thing in the first half where he got the ball kind of in the midfield line, and then he dribbled back towards our net, and he's like trying to find a pass, and then I forgot who it is. I think it might have been Henderson that tackled him, and then he loses it, and it's just like, what are you doing? And he just had these, but you know what, like, you can live with that when he gives you the work rate he was giving you today, and that desire, like, it looked like watching the guy that we saw for the first year and a half he was at United, right, where it was like, he drives you nuts, but you'll live with that because of, you know, that over the course of a season, he's going to give you the work rate. And ultimately, he will give you the end product. Obviously, he didn't get an assist or a goal today, but I just thought he looked way better. I didn't think he overcomplicated it at times where he has overcomplicated in the past. I mean, he was pretty unlucky to not get an assist, right? Alanga hit the post early in the first half. So
yeah,
I just thought he looked really sharp, and he was really up for it. And yeah, maybe...
What about not giving the ball back when they scored?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. That's my kind of shithousery, that.
Oh, I hated it. Like, I hated it. Do it for like a bit, but don't... He was going to keep it for the rest of the evening. Christ.
Apparently Klopp wasn't happy about it, so he was letting him have it a little bit on the sideline. But, you know, I just... It was... You know what was the best thing about the end of the match was, like, minus what we just talked about with Bruno, but it felt like even that, right, with the him trying to hold onto the ball... It felt like they understood, okay, look, we don't need to score another goal. We just need to survive the last 10, 15 minutes. And I thought they were really, like, managing the time in a way that was more mature and calm. And it was, like, such a stark contrast to, do you remember the Champions League last year, the second leg at Old Trafford against Atletico, where it felt like the last 30 minutes they had no idea what they're doing. They're just chasing the ball and they're committing stupid foul after stupid foul, and it was like the exact opposite of that, you know. And it was just, it was great to see. And I thought Martial, like, that he had a dribble, you know, they had the ball for a ton of the last 5 minutes, and I think it was into extra time, probably the third minute of extra time, we got the ball out and Van de Beek laid it off to him on the touchline, and Martial, I mean, he starts taking guys on and he dribbles in field. And I'm like, what are you doing? But he just completely left Van Dijk for dead, and Van Dijk had to foul him. And yeah. It was just like, I was like, you know, where have you been the last 2 years? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. He is. I mean, Martial is absolutely tempting us all into the world's greatest gotcha when he inevitably goes back to being useless, because at the moment he looks like the everything you want in a number nine. I don't know if it's just because he's going back to number nine or he's just wised up or whatever. It's just a purple patch. We've seen them before. But I mean, and we've probably said this a million times about Martial, but like, he's big and he's quite strong. You know, he's holding off Van Dijk, but then he's holding off a big, massive, top quality centre back, and also just at the same time taking the silkiest of touches and like turning him like a knife through butter. And he's just, he has all the class in the world. If he could just,
he was toying with Van Dijk today. 100%, at points in the second like, half. His hold up play was like, I mean, I think that was the big thing that, and I know that's why he wanted to get him on, but like, Rashford, when he plays through the middle, right, he's always going to live on that ball. Right? Over like, the, he's over always the trying shoulder, to get in behind. Back, yeah. Yeah, right. 100%. Yeah. And I think Martial, what he does is his hold up play. I mean, he's the only guy at the club we have now that brings that to the table, because Ronaldo, like, as much as we've used him as a striker, yeah, Ronaldo doesn't have that in him. And, you know, that was never really his game, right? So, like, Martial has that. And I think really you can see it with Rashford. Like, it makes sense why they have generally worked well together, right? Because Martial can hold the ball up, that brings the center halves in, and now all of a sudden Rashford has space to run into, and it's like, and then, you know, you had TAA out there who had no idea what he was doing for 90% of the match. Was
getting exactly. People will love that, obviously, because people love to watch him get absolutely roasted defensively, because he's obviously so good going forward. But it's always great to see, as far as I can tell, particularly when it's us. And Rashford actually usually has a good bit of success against him. But yeah, I agree. Martial, I think his whole play is so missed. It's exactly what the team needs. I mean, I just thought the last sort of 30 minutes of the first, well, 20 minutes of the first half, that's the ball just wouldn't stick anywhere. And it was totally different when he came on, even as the pressure came and came and came. I just think he gives you that calm. It's just by keeping him involved, I think, you know, and keeping him going. But I really think that's why a fluid front four with Bruno behind him and Eriksen as well, who I thought again had a quietly very, very good game, really just suits us a million times better than playing with Ronaldo up there. So, Jamie, final thing, kind of on the match side of things, who is your player of the match? Because I think it's quite tough to pick.
Do you know, I think just because he's had a bit of a rocky start from the media and things like that already. I think Martinez has got to be in the discussion, because I just thought he was brilliant tonight. Like, brought a real passionate side to his defending as well. And kind of similar to what we're saying about Malacia, like,
yeah,
just snapping into tackles. And again, I quite like shithousery in football. And the little head push on Milner when he was getting up was brilliant. The next time Milner gets the ball, he smashes him in a tackle that's totally fair as well. And there was another one where I think it was Elliot bumped into him from behind just when the ball was going out for a goal kick. And he just flattens himself on the floor, just kind of killing a few other seconds. And I was like, do you know what? I'm fed up with having a team that's just full of players that don't really do any of that. Like, you look at every other team in the league, whether it's Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever, there's guys that just know the dark arts of football, and he definitely looks like he's going to be good at that, as well as just being a very good defender, and I was impressed with him. But the other guy I think absolutely needs to be singled out for praise is Varane. I thought Varane's performance tonight was absolutely fantastic, like genuinely fantastic.
But it was best performance for us by distance, probably.
I've seen already in the forum, somebody said it was like a Rolls Royce of a performance, like how Rio used to put in, just confident on the ball, not having to do many tackles because he's already read the danger before it's there. There was one sliding tackle in the first half that was incredible, and it actually then helps us set up to get right on the counter immediately after it. He was a real leader as well, because there was two or three times where the camera kind of caught him turning around and bollocking players. Just even if they were just slightly off their position, and he was turning around and basically letting the players know that they needed to get back into position, they needed to cover, if they needed to pass the ball a bit quicker, whatever it was, he was the one that was telling them that. And between the leadership qualities he showed, between the actual defensive side of his game as well, I just thought he was absolutely excellent. And God, I hope he can stay fit, because that would absolutely be my centre-back pairing for the season.
Stick the stake in the ground now and just say that's them. But it's hard to argue, because they honestly, they look great. And I think Varane, you know, like, that was definitely his best performance in a United shirt that I've seen. It looked totally top class. In a more sort of understated way, I think, because as you say, Martinez, there is a lot of passion there. He was rushing out to a lot of blocks and putting his body on the line and throwing himself around the place, which we all love to see. But it kind of draws the eye a bit more. But probably, actually, Varane was... I mean, statistically, had slightly a better game, but they just looked like a really, really solid partnership. Ashwin, anyone else to chuck in? I think maybe Marcus Rashford is up there if you don't want to go for one of the two centre backs.
I thought Rashford was really good. I thought his energy was really good. I don't think he was the man of the match. I know he scored a goal, but I thought there were stretches in the first half, especially where you could see that. Like, I think that's why we needed Martial to come on, because there was stretches where you needed somebody who could get the ball with their back. The goal, yeah. And just hold the play up and get out of tight spaces. So that's like not really a criticism of Rashford's performance, but it's like that's a limitation of his game. So I wouldn't say he was man of the match. I think it has to be one of the center backs for sure. I would probably just say Martinez, because I thought I'd rather just give it to the one that who's like not won all loads of medals and trophies and is like an established international and all these things. But yeah, I mean, Varane was he was tremendous. I agree that like he looked like a leader today. He felt like, and I don't, again, this is like not, I don't know how this stuff works. I don't think it's fair to blame this on Maguire or anything, but it felt like without Maguire there, right, there is no captain on the pitch really, like. Bruno's the sub-captain, whatever. But, like, it felt like Varane stepped into that void and felt like, okay, this is my back line. I have to marshal it. I have to, like, direct the traffic. I have to tell everybody. It felt very, like, a commanding performance. But there was something about Martinez's performance that's, like, very... It's very Premier League friendly. That's probably the good way to put it. He was very... full-blooded in a lot of challenges. Yeah. I loved the block he had on Salah on a rebound, I think, in the first half, where he just came running out, blocked it, went out for a corner. He's just, like, you can already tell he's just got that... I don't know if he's going to be a success or not, but if he is not a success, it will not be because he is getting overpowered physically, really.
Yeah, like, he doesn't have the stomach for the fight. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I like his mentality. He is definitely willing to mix it up. I like that he, you know, he gave Milner a little extra after he rolled him off the pitch. That was nice to see. Milner didn't like it. Milner didn't like a lot of things today. If we're just being completely objective, I'd probably have to say Varane also. He was just, he looked like a different level to everybody else.
He did. I think he did sort of just look like the best player on the pitch, which is definitely what you want from like a commanding centre-back performance. I think obviously the other person we haven't really touched on who deserves a lot of credit is Erik ten Hag. So just a quick one on him. But I mean, really from the selection to the in-game management to the making the players run the deficit of miles that we ran less than... Brentford, to, you know, the motivation that he clearly has instilled, and how much of that is down to him and his work during the week, and just how much of that is the situation that the players have found themselves in the opening two games, and the kind of the media and the outrage kind of thing, you know, around the performances. But the credit still has to go to him. I thought that all the selections were bang on, all the changes were bang on. McTominay had a good game, everyone had a good game, everyone was ready to go, The in-game stuff was great too. So really well managed, and a big plus point for him, I'm sure, after a rocky start to his United career. We take another short ad break, but after that we will chat about some of the protest stuff and some of hopefully our new signings before the window shuts. So yeah, it's been mentioned a few times, obviously, so far on the pod about how the energy at Old Trafford and the kind of buzz that was there really seemed to bleed into that performance, Jamie. Obviously we had a huge by all accounts protest with a really big kind of turnout before the match at around 7 marching down, and really all targeted at what the fans want, which is really the sale of the club. And by all accounts, super well attended, largely organised by the 1958 Society, and you know, all from what I've seen, and obviously we're recording straight after the match, so I'll have to kind of jump in and digest everything about it, because I think probably most of us were watching Sky and just getting ourselves sorted before the match who weren't there, you know, personally. But from the bits I've seen, it seemed totally kind of peaceful, respectful, but pointed, you know, and meaningful, and it certainly seemed to have an impact on the game.
Yeah, obviously, as you say, we're just coming straight off the back of watching the game and just having a quick look on social media, and it does look like it was very peaceful, which is good. And I know that both the 1958 and Must both said that the end game of the protest was absolutely to be as peaceful as possible, to not be causing any bother. And there was actually a wide shot just before the game started, and Dave Jones mentioned the fact that the protest had just started, and it showed you this wide shot, and it did look like around about 10,000 fans or so were all kind of walking up, you know, I can't remember the name of the road, but the road up from the pub all the way through up to past the industrial estate towards Old Trafford. You could actually see on the wide shot thousands and thousands of United fans making their way up to the stadium. And even while that protest was going on, there already was kind of thousands of fans standing outside the Trinity statue as well. You could see that on the wide footage, and I know that that's where the protest was marching up to, so it did look as though it was particularly well attended as well. And look, we all know we want the Glazers out. Everybody's exactly the same in terms of that objective. And things like last week, you know, Ratcliffe kind of even just making it known that he's interested in buying the club, he's interested in speaking to the Glazers about that. Even just that opportunity arising has just gave a bit more fuel to the movement, which is good. And as we said, we want everything to be as peaceful as possible. You don't want disruption and things like potentially having the game called off and all that. You don't really want that, because that's the negative side. You want peaceful protests and like that we have seen so far. And again, if anything has happened, we're not aware of it at the moment. But I just think if that momentum can continue, it's all for the better, really. Because we've seen it a few times before, both when the club was originally bought out in 2005, then there was a green and gold movement in the 9-10 season. There was a wee bit of it around the Super League, and then it's hard to keep the momentum going, and we don't know if the momentum will carry through for a particularly long period of time. But if things keep happening like tonight, where it's peaceful, it's well attended, and it's well organised, personally I'd be happy to see it happen for as long as possible. As long as obviously it's going to actually lead to significant change.
Yeah, totally. And that's a million-dollar question. Ultimately, no one will really know if the Glazers will give a fiddle, you know, about the whole thing. But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, as fans, you'll never know that. So ultimately, you can either do nothing or you can do something. And even if you do something and it appears to have no effect whatsoever, you've still done your bit and made your feelings known. And you'll know that at least, you know, if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle, essentially. And I think it will have some impact. As you say, the Ratcliffe news, to me, that was like, it overshadowed our transfer business. You know, I became immediately switched off from the last two or three weeks of the window and just wanted to know about whether there was anything in this, whether the Glazers would consider it, all that kind of stuff. Because to me, that is much more exciting, you know, than, you know, a shiny new toy at the end of what is a disastrous window, essentially. And to me, that is still should be the main focus. And hopefully it doesn't just kind of dwindle when we get into the kind of, you know, greatness, but the monotony of the Premier League season, and once the transfer window closes and all that kind of stuff. And if results pick up, that's the kind of the thing. It always ebbs and flows and rises and falls with how we're doing, which is always a short-term way to look at it. So hopefully this does have a kind of a long-term approach this time. But as you say, it's a bit of a tightrope, I think, for the organisers to walk with regards to what you're asking people to do and also what you're risking if it does go a wee bit sour and stuff like that. And I appreciate everyone has a different opinion on how you know, aggressively it should be pursued, but I think they've done a great job, certainly in the first instance, and all the kind of Twitter stuff I saw. Borham was all very much urging a level of responsibility around it, where you can make yourself known but not jeopardize anyone's liberty or indeed the whole face of the movement kind of thing. So I was quite pleased with it.
Hi guys, Imran here, reminding you that this podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Manscaped. Yes, Manscaped.com, your go-to place for all the above-the-waist and below-the-waist grooming needs. You can get everything you need from there, your nose trimmer, your balls trimmer, all the lotions and potions, as Nick would put it. Get yourself onto Manscaped.com, get yourself the performance package. It has really everything you'd ever need for that sort of thing. It's a really good kit. I've got one myself, and it's fantastic. I can't sing its praises more. And you can support the pod by going on to manscaped.com and using the code UnitedHour20. Yes, UnitedHour20. That gets you free shipping and 20% off your order. That's UnitedHour20 for free shipping and 20% off your order. Get to manscaped.com now. Another great way to support the pod would be to join our Patreon, United Hour Patreon. It's a small amount a month that helps us with our running costs and generally keeping this podcast free for you. And in return, you get access to a couple of extra pods a season, and you get to join our Matchday Discord where we talk about the game and, yeah, join us in our conversations. That's United Hour on Patreon. And also, we want to grow the podcast this season, so please tell your friends about us, tell United fans about us, get us followed on Twitter, get us followed on Instagram, all the good stuff. And, yeah. Cheers for supporting the pod as always.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There is, though, shiny new toys to talk about, Ashwin. So two, really, although we are being told there could be as many as two more after this, possibly. But we have signed Casemiro. He was there today. I don't know if anyone saw his interaction with Keane, which I thought was really nice.
Yes, that was great. Brilliant.
I just think I'm going to hold my peace about this transfer. It'll probably do for next week's pod, because we're coming at the end of the hour. But I am on the fence about it, as much as I think he is a great player. But everything about him, from his leaving speech at Real and all the tears and stuff, to the interview he gave about United, to his reasons, and then to his appreciation for Keane, I thought was just so genuine that he clearly just wanted to have that moment with them and have a chat with him. He seems like a really, really, really decent human being and leader kind of thing. So that's very cool. And then I don't know if you also saw, but Anthony was watching the game with his agent, United game, which is obviously a good advert. So what do you reckon about those signings, Ashwin, quickly, and about any future business we might do before the end of this disastrous window?
So I think the one thing I will say is, for as weird as our transfer business has been, and I don't think it's long-term, I'm not sure it's very inspiring how we've gone about this market. But the players they have brought in seem to want to be here from reasons that go beyond a nice paycheck, which comes with playing for United. Like Malacia, we talked about him, obviously. Eriksen, I think, you know, it's like his last opportunity at a top club, right? I don't think it's anything really beyond that. But that's a motivating factor for a player like him, right? And somebody who literally nearly died. And then you have Martinez, who I think also is here because this is like a massive opportunity for him, you know? It's just, I think you have players that are motivated that are coming in. Casemiro is obviously very different in the sense that, like, I don't think he was forced out of Real. I think they were happy to keep him. I think they wanted to keep him maybe, but they obviously have invested deep in their midfield. Casemiro, you know, he can see the writing on the wall that's how Real is, right? That's the type of club it is, where it doesn't matter how good you have been, it's how good are you going to be moving forward, because we have these young stars waiting to replace you. And I think United is an opportunity for him. And, you know, I thought the quote he gave about, like, they asked him something about dropping a level, and he was like, yeah, well, I want to be a reason to, like, bring United back to the top. And I know that's, like, a very cliche kind of line, but he's not really like a player that, like, I saw people talking about, oh, well, of course the Glazers are spending money on somebody like Casemiro so they can sell more shirts now. And it's like, are there a lot of people like lining up to buy Casemiro shirts? Yeah. Is that
the
a
old
thing?
CDM position doesn't normally sell the shirts.
But I mean, he's just a player, like, I've loved him forever. So for him to I've just loved him. So for him to be at United, like, is it the smartest transfer? It's like, I think the way to describe it is, I don't think it's intelligent that we paid as much for him as we did, given his age. I don't think it's an inspiring piece of business. But I also think if you can get a world-class player at a position of need, like, and that is a major, that's probably the biggest position of need we've had since, what, Carrick basically retired. Like, if you can get that, then sure, like, we can nitpick and talk about what the flaws are. But in the short term anyway, like, I don't doubt for a second. I'm not worried about the speed of the Premier League or him adjusting. I think he's going to be fantastic. I think, yeah, Antony, I got to say, that one is crazy to me, the fees that are being talked about. If Ten Hag wants him, I guess that's the premium you pay to do it. It says, again, a lot about our recruitment and the fact that they can't identify even a reasonable alternative that could theoretically cost less. But he looks like a pretty dynamic talent. He is a left-footed right winger, which is something obviously that the squad right now doesn't have a lot of. Ten Hag obviously doesn't think that Ahmad is ready. So, you know, it is what it is. So you have to go by Antony. I don't know. He looks a talent. He definitely wants to be here. Again, like another player. I don't think, yes, the paycheck will help. But, like, I don't think he wants to come to United just because of that. I think he wants to come to United to play for Ten Hag, and because it is a step up in his career. And the other one that we've been linked with is Gakpo from PSV. Which there's a lot of conflicting reports about, like, whether he's an alternative to Antony or if it's getting them both in, which I think if we have the financial wherewithal to do that, that would be the optimal thing. Because as awesome as this match was today, it also was very revealing how thin our attacking depth is, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
You had like a 10-minute period where you had Eriksen playing striker, essentially. Like, you need bodies. We need attackers. So if we can get both those across the line before the window closes, that would be fantastic. I think we'd like another center midfielder and a right back also and a goalkeeper.
Frankie's coming, Ashwin.
He absolutely 100% is, yeah, not, but, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's coming. And then we got linked to that 100% keeper illusion in Germany, right? Trap. So, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe a bit more business. I largely agree. I think Casemiro might be a brilliant signing for literally all the wrong reasons in the end. You know, it kind of doesn't matter how you arrive at it, but it's hard not to feel like they're absolute jokers, to be honest, but they've just pulled a rabbit out of the hat. Yeah, Antony, I think it's a ridiculous overpay, to be honest. I don't not want them as a player, but I absolutely think we are... It just has panic written all over. I think it's crazy money. And Gakpo actually really would like. I think he looks like a good talent. And I also think he'd be more of a number nine for us possibly than a winger, but can obviously fill in.
Yes. Yep.
And if that meant Ronaldo could leave or was, you know, pushed out a wee bit more, then I'd be all the happier. Obviously we have Southampton next week. Early kickoff on Saturday. Quickly, predictions, Jamie?
3-0.
Yeah. Ashwin?
Southampton or United?
Oh, United. That's it. I'm well on the train.
Yeah, we're back. We are absolutely back.
Everyone for the next month.
So, yeah, I'll say 2-1 United.
The other good thing, just two absolutely solid predictions. The other good thing is that if we hadn't scored tonight, our goal of the month would have been an own goal scored by Brighton. But actually, we scored two really good goals, so we actually have a very credible goal of the month to look forward to. So August hasn't been an absolute disaster, listeners.
Can I actually add something in, Colm, just quickly?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's basically at the end of the game, Ten Hag went and got interviewed by Sky, Dave Jones, Keane, Carragher, Neville are all on the side of the pitch and interviewing him. And this just makes me love him even more. So they asked him, what was different between this week and last week? And he said, look, attitude's the main thing. If the attitude's not there, you can talk about tactics and all of that, but it doesn't matter. Your attitude has to be right. And guess what? When our attitude's right, we can fucking play football. Yes, he dropped the F-bomb on Sky and did not even give
an F
about it. And it was absolutely magic.
Class.
He's an intense guy. I don't
know. Oh, he is an intense guy. Yeah,
he's intense.
But yeah, hopefully more of that. And that's good night from me.
Good night from me.
Night, troops.
United Hour is part of the Sports Social Network. Edited by Imran Lahair. and our theme song is by Ancient Feelings. To get in touch, please follow us on Twitter, United_Hour, or email us at unitedhour@gmail.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.